Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that on this beautiful Lord's Day, we can be here to lift your praises. We thank you for bringing us through another week. We thank you for a new week. As we stand on the threshold of this new week and this beautiful season of the year in beautiful East Tennessee, may we remember to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. May we remember that nothing's going to happen to us today that us and God together can't handle. Meet with us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "I Know Whom I Have Believed."
Of faith this morning, our litany is faithfulness and trust. I invite you to join with us. It's in your worship folder. We believe in God who created us, who sustains us each moment, who is our life and our breath.
We follow Christ who showed us God.
He received and shared God's grace.
He trusted God in everything.
He let go of things so that he might cling to life.
He let go of life so that he might hold on to love.
He gave himself, even his very life, for the sake of the healing of the world.
He was crucified, but God gave him life again. He arose and is among us in a new way.
We live by the Holy Spirit, who alone gives us life.
We rejoice in the church, the body of Christ, in the oneness of all life, the gift of forgiveness, the reality of resurrection, and the mystery of eternal life.
By the power of that Holy Spirit, and in the name of Christ, we devote ourselves to give generously of all that we have.
For the sake of the healing of the world, and to the eternal glory of God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God, other than afternoon? That's probably more among the concerns than it is among the joys, but anything you'd like to share? Well, looks like God has answered all the prayers. Isn't that great? Let me encourage you. Maybe you haven't noticed, but we have a national election coming up. And boy, do we need God's help. Now, I'm not saying that in a partisan way, okay? We're not supposed to do that because we're a 501c3 nonprofit group and we're not supposed to get into politics. I don't care which side you're on, we need God's help. Enough said, okay? Be praying for our nation. Be praying for everyone as they go to the ballot box. Next Sunday, we're going to finish up our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. And the following Sunday, the 30th, we will be having a message entitled, "Which Way Will You Vote?" It's not what you think, okay? Don't get up in arms one way or t'other, but we will be talking about voting and elections and that sort of thing, tying it in with Scripture, and we want you to be a part of it and be cognizant. Don't be afraid to pray in the ballot box. When you're in there to vote, that's perfectly okay. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we do give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for the assurance that you are watching over us moment by moment, day by day. Lord, you know the aches and pains that we have in these physical bodies of ours, in our hearts, in our minds. You know those things that stir us. You know those things that keep us awake at night? Remind us that you are in control. Lord, remind us this morning that you are watching over each one of us. We are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture, and you are indeed the great shepherd. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that in an uncertain world we can have these certainties. We pray this morning that you be with each one gathered here. May they feel your presence. May they feel your touch. May they feel your peace. May they feel joy in the midst of all that's going on around them in life. We realize this morning that there are those here who are dealing with physical problems. We pray that as a great physician, your healing hand would be upon them. There are those here dealing with relationship issues. We pray, Lord, that you would reach down and touch them and heal the situation there. There are those dealing with uncertainties about finances, about jobs, about the future, whatever it may be. Remind us that your word promises that we can cast all of our cares upon you, because you do care for us. We thank you, Lord, for Rockwood United Methodist Church. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fill each one that's a part of this congregation. We pray that you would stir us, that we might want to do more to help build your kingdom here, to help share your love and your grace. We pray, Lord, that in this fall season, as we think of harvest time, that you would remind us that when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he does produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. May we be found fruitful because we have allowed your Holy Spirit to infill and indwell our hearts. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. Remind us that in this room today, every person here is among the top 5% of the richest people in the world. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
standing as we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Children, come on down.
No, runny nose. Hey, buddy, come on up here with us. Hi. What you doing? Good morning. How are we? Good? Are we okay? There you go. Yeah. This morning we're going to talk about something called faith. What do you think faith is? Do you have faith in something? You don't know? Well, you have faith? Uh-oh.
That all the time. That's fine.
Just died. There it goes. We have faith that mom and dad are going to make sure that we have something to eat and clothes to wear and things like that, right? And we have faith that if we get in our car, it's going to start and we can go wherever we want to go. Yeah? We even have faith that our favorite football team is going to win the game, right? Thank you. Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say a word, Dan. You're the one with the red shirt on. What are you fussing at me about? I've got some keys here. And these are all keys. Like, that's a key to the church. That's a key to my work right there. That's a key to my post office box. And that's a key to my office at Roane State. Got all kinds of keys there, huh? But you know, there's one, yeah, that I don't know. That's the key to the fellowship hall. I don't know. We'll talk about those later. Faith is the key to God's love. You know, God, all God says is that we have to believe that He is going to do something, and He will, right? We've had Sister Linda in our church who's been sick. We didn't know what was going on, but she believed she was going to be okay, and guess what? She's okay. We have all kinds of faith, and that's all God asked. And He said if we have just a little bit of faith, that we can move a mountain. So let's ask God to help us to always have faith and to believe in Him, okay? Let's bow our heads. Thanks. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this church. But Lord, we thank You that all we have to do is just to believe and to have faith, and that You're going to answer our prayers and You're going to be there for us. Life doesn't always give us the answers that we want. Sometimes we have tough times to go through, but we know that in the end, You are our Savior and You're going to take care of everything. And we thank You for that. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Miss Terry. Our scripture lesson this morning is one that you should be getting familiar with by now, from Galatians chapter 5. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I'd like to share a musical number with you this morning. I don't know if you're really into classical music or not. If you're not, I've got some good news for you. This ain't it. But down through the years, in over 45 years of ministry, I have really heard some good reasons why people couldn't be faithful in their relationship with God. I've often threatened to write a book about it. But then I got to thinking a lot of people wouldn't believe it, and the rest of the people would think I was writing about them and they'd be offended, so I've kind of put that on the back burner. What happened yesterday afternoon? We'd come up with a lot of good reasons why it happened. Probably the best reason is that the other team scored more points than we did. We'll let it go at that. But listen to the song and let it speak to your heart.
Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer it's too hot, and in the winter it's too cold. In the springtime when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit with some old friend or just to stay at home and rest and have a quiet weekend. Now, the church benches are too hard and the choir sings way too loud. And you know how nervous you can get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. Now, the doctor says you better watch them crowds or give you heart attacks. But you go to that old ball game because you say it helps you relax. Well, it's a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But when work time comes on Monday, well, you're feeling quite all right. Now, one of the children has a cold pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay at home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep the folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Now the preacher, he's too young, or maybe he's too old. His sermons are not hard enough, or else they're way too bold. His voice is much too quiet. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's way too proud. Now the sermons, they're too long, or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Now the preacher that we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. I heard a woman say just the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
Folks, when you say, preacher, I won't be in church next Sunday because... Well... This morning we're talking, ironically enough, about faithfulness. A pastor was once asked to define what it meant by faithful attendance at worship. This was his reply. All that I ask is that we apply the same standards of faithfulness to church activities that we would to other areas of our life. For instance, if your car started one time in three, would you consider it faithful? How about if your newspaper delivery person skipped Mondays and Thursdays? If you didn't show up at work two or three times a month, would your boss call you faithful? If your refrigerator quit for 24 hours every now and then, would you excuse it and say, well, it works most of the time? What if your water heater greeted you with a cold shower one or two mornings a week? Would it be faithful? If you missed a couple of mortgage payments every year, would the bank say, well, 10 out of 12 isn't too bad? If you only got a paycheck every other payday, would you be satisfied? If your spouse came home 9 nights out of 10, would that work? Oh, yeah. Chuck Swindoll, I've got about 55 or 60 of his books in my library. In one of those books, he mentions a survey that was taken. And one of the questions in that survey was, what would you do for $10 million? Well, first of all, if you take him up on that offer, remember a tithe of that is $1 million. And then the pay to line, just put Rockwood United Methodist Church. But anyway, here's what people said they'd do for $10 million. 25% said they would abandon their families. 23% would become a prostitute for a week. 7% said they would murder a complete stranger. Now, before we get too smug and self-righteous about this, there was another survey that showed that Christians were just about as likely as non-Christians to cheat on their income tax, steal from the workplace, and selectively obey laws. When I was in college, I worked for almost 4 years for General Foods Corporation up in Illinois. Worked in a factory, we made dog food. Prime variety, top choice, Gaines meal, gravy train, the biscuits, the whole thing. And every once in a while, the company would drop incentives in the packages to get people to buy them. Maybe a rawhide bone for the dog, maybe a flare pen. One time, they were dropping in these, you know, these tattoos they have for kids? You get them wet, and you stick them on your skin, and they, you know, peel it off, and there's a tattoo. If Cheyenne were here this morning, I'd have her demonstrate, because she usually has two or three of them or more. But anyway, they were dropping, you know, little packets of those into the packages of dog food. And one day I was working on the line in one of the departments that I worked in, out of many of them, and one of my coworkers came through carrying a big case. I mean, it was about this tall, that wide, and that deep. He came walking through there. He said, "Look what I got." I said, "What is it?" He showed me on the side of the box, 50,000 tattoos. And I said, "What are you going to do with 50,000 tattoos?" He said, "I'm going to take them home and give them to my four-year-old." Ladies, if it were your husband and he came into the house with 50,000 little pieces of paper that he was going to give to a four-year-old, what would you say? Or do? Yeah. It gets interesting sometimes. Faithfulness sets us apart from other people. Faithfulness has a way of separating the successful from the failures, the finisher from the quitter, the responsible from the irresponsible, the mature from the immature, the righteous from the sinful. The truth of the matter is, and I don't have to tell you this, we live in an unfaithful world. The tabloids are filled with stories of unfaithfulness. As I was checking out the other day, I'm not going to mention any names, but I saw that a woman that lives in the White House was going to divorce her husband. It was in the tabloid. It's got to be true. You know, you see those things there. You know, margins wiped out Washington, D.C., or whatever it may be. But there's a lot of that stuff in there. There's reason that they print it. There was a card in the Love and Sweetheart section of the department store. And it said on the card, "I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today." Fortunately, we serve a God who promises us much more than just today. Realize with me this morning, first of all, God is always faithful. Psalm 100 says, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." We just got done singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." When it comes to faithfulness, one thing we can know for sure is that God is faithful. The fruit of the Spirit, as we've discussed before, the fruit of the Spirit are attributes of God. Faithful is not just what God does, it's who God is. God will never turn God's back on us. God will never abandon us. Faithfulness is rooted in the character and the work of God. God is always dependable in his relationship with us. God alone is the one whom we can be certain will never let us down, will never disappoint us. He is our friend who, as it says in Proverbs 18, he's our friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." The psalmist testifies to the faithfulness of God in Psalm 27. "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." God will be with us in every situation. Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Psalm 33, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." God has never broken a promise, and God never will. God is praised from Genesis through Revelation as a faithful God. Deuteronomy 32:4, "He is the rock. His works are perfect, and his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong." God is faithful to forgive us. We can stand on the promise of 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The same promise Jesus made to the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2. "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." God is faithful to give us victory over temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 promises, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to us all, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit being an expression of love. Think with me now. Joy is love rejoicing. Patience is love enduring. Peace is love trusting and resting. Kindness is love serving. Goodness is love extending. Faithfulness is love proving. Gentleness is love touching. Self-control is love restraining. Faithfulness is love that will not quit. It's not a one-time display. It proves itself over and over again. Secondly, we see God's faithfulness in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. What does faithfulness look like? Actually, get right down to it, faithfulness looks like Jesus. If we're going to live faithful lives, we need to live and act like Jesus. Hebrews 2:17, it was necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Jesus lived his life with unwavering faithfulness. He didn't quit when things got hard. He remained true to his commitment regardless of the cost. Jesus loved us to death and beyond. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Number three, if we are faithful, we hold on to truth. Revelation 2, to the church at Thyatira, Jesus says, hold on to the truth. Values change, as we have discovered, and it's not always for the better. Truth remains the same. If you're going to be faithful, then hold on to the truth. Let me give you five basic truths here that we can hang on to. First, the Bible is our authoritative guide for how to live. 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. B, Jesus Christ is our hope of salvation. Acts 4, salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved, only this one. C, people are more important than things. Matthew 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. D, God owns everything. God loans it to us for a short time. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. E, what happens in me, listen now, what happens in me is more important than what happens to me. Philippians 1:6, I'm convinced that God who began this good work in you will carry it through to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28, we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It does not say that everything that happens to us is going to be good, but it does say that God will bring good out of it if we dare to trust him. Robert Schuller said, you can either get bitter or you can get better. It's our choice. Number four, the faithful persevere through difficulty. Four responses to difficulties in our lives. We can give up and be crushed. We can whine and complain. Or we can pray victoriously and we can endure and refuse to give up. Hebrews 11:32 through 39 says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains and caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. And number five, the faithful keep their commitments. Matthew 25:21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thomas Edison made a statement that invention is 98% perspiration and 2% inspiration. In other words, faithfully sticking to whatever task we're called to do. Back in the summer of AD 79, I think I was in junior high school then. Anyway, Mount Vesuvius erupted, and through that catastrophe, 10% of the population of the city were destroyed. 2,000 people lost their lives. A painting was made depicting what it must have been like as these people were fleeing for their lives. Prominent on one side of that painting was a Roman centurion standing at attention at his post while the fire and brimstone fell all around him. The painting was entitled "Faithful Even Unto Death." A lady once asked John Wesley what he would do if he knew that he would die at midnight the next night. How would he spend what remaining time he had if he knew he had that deadline facing him? His response was, "Why, madam, just as I intend to spend it now. I would preach this evening at Gloucester and again at 5 tomorrow morning. After that, I would ride to Tewkesbury, preach in the afternoon, and meet the societies in the evening. I would then go to Reverend Martin's house, who expects to entertain me, talk and pray with the family as usual, retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down to rest, and wake up in heaven." At the judgment seat, Jesus is not going to ask you and me if we were successful. He's going to ask what he already knows, if we were faithful. Number six, finally, faithfulness gives us opportunities for a fresh start. Our God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." A number of years ago, how many of y'all have ever been to Niagara Falls? We've got a goodly number here that have been. A number of years ago, the great Blondin, tightrope walker, stretched a cable across that huge chasm below the falls. And with his balance beam, he would walk across that cable with the swirling waters hundreds of feet below him. Huge crowds gathered on both sides. He would finish the crossing and stand there on the wall, and the people would clap and cheer and whistle and all that good stuff. Then finally, after one of the crossings, he said, "How many of you think that I can cross this wire pushing a wheelbarrow?" Oh, yeah. "How many of you think I can cross this wire pushing a wheelbarrow with somebody in it?" "Oh, yeah. Do it. He said, "Okay, who will get in?" There was not a sound. Even the children didn't cough at that point. That's okay, Rodney. Thank you for helping me out, okay? No. They believed he could do it, but not enough to where they were willing to get in. Jesus told the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2, be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you a crown of life. I'd like to ask this morning, as you know, on November the 6th, we're going to be celebrating Veterans Sunday. But this morning, I'd like to ask for all of our Marines that are here to stand. Any Marines? Okay, well, we'll catch the rest of you on November the 6th. For the last 133 years, since 1883, I think many of us know what the motto of the Marine Corps has been. Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. You and I, as children of God, are called to always be faithful. Semper Fidelis could be our motto as well. There's also a Marine prayer. Now, if we don't have Marine backgrounds here, you may not be familiar with it. It's a petition for power to live a life of faithfulness. In closing, let me read that to you, okay? This is the Marine prayer. Almighty Father, whose command is over all and whose love never fails, make me aware of thy presence and obedient to your will. Keep me true to my best self, guarding me against dishonesty and purpose and deed, and helping me to live so that I can face my fellow Marines, my loved ones, and you without shame or fear. Protect my family. Give me the will to do the work of a Marine and to accept my share of responsibilities with vigor and enthusiasm. Grant me the courage to be proficient in my daily performance. Keep me loyal and faithful to my superiors and to the duties my country and the Marine Corps have entrusted to me. Help me to wear my uniform with dignity, and let it remind me daily of the traditions which I must uphold. If I am inclined to doubt, steady my faith. If I am tempted, make me strong to resist. If I should miss the mark, give me courage to try again. Guide me with the light of truth and grant me wisdom by which I may understand the answer to my prayer. With that in mind, Semper Fi. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would help us, that we might indeed always be faithful to you. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would empower us to be the kind of men and women and young people that you need to serve you, to build your kingdom, to change our world. Have your way now in our hearts. May we leave this place in a way that the world will know that we are part of the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end, be thou forever near me, my master and my friend.
you leave this place, as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, ready to go, ready to stay, ready your place to fill, whatever it may be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.